this since we've all been shut in, and y'all too. And appreciate my family and brother Sonny. He gets upset when y'all call him my family for being here. And we begging in your prayers this evening. I want to start in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. He says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the word of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." I was asked a question a couple of weeks ago when talking about doctrine. It was another friend of Baptist elder says, it is so tempting for young preachers, he said, but all preachers, to talk about just, okay, today I'm going to preach about what's going on in the world today. He goes, why focus on the doctrine? And I thought on that a minute. And had to answer then. And that's what I want to try to talk about this evening, is the doctrine and the experience of the doctrine. How the experience of the doctrine will help in every stage, whether we abound or are abased. The doctrine is there for us. It feeds. That is the very food the Lord gives us. His learnings. He says here, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. We just had a 3.5-inch rain here yesterday. And I was a little worried about y'all because anytime we get a 1/2 inch over here, y'all get tornadoes over there. And yesterday we had a few tornadoes in there. So I said, by the time it gets over there, don't tell them what it'll be. But I think y'all have some rain in the area. But we got a 3.5-inch rain yesterday. And here, we live on a ranch here, and it hadn't been too dry, but we can get here in Texas, as y'all all know, and I know y'all people that outside of Texas, y'all picture John Wayne and just desert everywhere. We're not like that, but we can sure get like that. And it can just be dry, but you know what? When the rain falls, it doesn't take but a day or two, and it greens up. And you can see the effect of that. And here the Lord says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, the small rain upon the tender. I tell you what, something about that grass, though it might look dead out there sometimes, it's not dead. And just like that, sometimes we feel dead, we look dead. But whenever we can get that doctrine, when the Lord sends a gospel message to us, and he preaches his word and his doctrine to us, I tell you, it refreshes us, doesn't it? And it shows life. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy. Let me go there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I've been reading this and I just thought, wow, Timothy got letters from the Apostle Paul. I mean, and we're all reading them still, if we can find them. First Timothy, I'm using a different Bible. It's in a different place. First Timothy chapter 4. Till I come, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And in verse 16 he says, take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That right there, we know what that's not talking about. And always, I'm not going to say it, but I got to say it. We know that the Apostle Paul was confident that Timothy was going to spend his life in heaven. He even says, talked about the faith that he's seen, and he saw it in his grandmother Eunice. So he wasn't concerned about this. He wasn't talking about being saved to heaven by this doctrine in the gospel. But I tell you, it saves us here and now. And in every situation, the doctrine, I want you to let's pick the doctrine of election. The doctrine of election where the Lord chose his people before the world began. He loved us before the world began. He chose us, and we are his. I tell you, if you're having a hard day, if you're having a good day, if you're suffering from a disease, to know, to experience, to feel that you belong to the Lord, that'll help. That's better than any rah-rah sermon that you can get on TV, or you know, I guess I'm on TV right now, but, or the internet. But the sermons that are so popular today, I tell you, but if we go into the book and we find the teachings of the Lord and the fundamental doctrines, the foundational doctrines, I tell you, David spoke of it in the 100th Psalm when he said, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I tell you, we can go out in the world. We can face troubles. We can face situations all by the grace of God, but knowing that we belong to him. Oh, what about Apostle Paul? I believe, don't you know that doctrine was special to him? Oh, you can just and I can't even pick one doctrine right now to focus on. But total depravity, you can find that in the 3rd chapter of his letter to the Romans. And then you can find it again in the 7th chapter. You want to talk about the experience of total depravity. What is learning about the doctrine of total depravity? That's depressing to think about. It's depressing to preach on, too, folks. But I tell you, like I always said, I'll never leave you there because the Lord didn't leave you. But you can look in the 7th chapter. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. That I would do, that I do not. That I would not, that I do. But you know what follows the 7th chapter of Romans? The 8th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, I tell you, how precious that is. And what about, oh, but I know that the Lord loved me. But I mess up so often. Well, that's where the experience to feel the doctrine of the preservation of the saints. That if he ever loves you, his love is everlasting. He will always love you. Take heed, he says, unto thyself and unto doctrine. The teachings of God. I often think on, and you know, you get, I want to learn doctrine in. Then you get all the 5 points. 5 points, there's more than 5 points in doctrine. What about sanctification? That's not included. I tell you, sanctification, to know that we were set apart for a holy purpose. I tell you, that'll help us wake up in the morning. That'll get us through all kinds. That the Lord loves you and set you aside. That we should walk in obedience and serve him the rest of our lives. Hebrews chapter 6. He talks about some doctrines that you don't mention. It's not in the 5 points for sure. sixth chapter of Hebrews, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Now, what that does not mean is we're going to leave it behind. Okay, we're done with that. No, I tell you this, and it even tells us, it follows it up by saying, not laying again the foundation. These doctrines must be a foundation in our worship, in our church, in our lives. All doctrines. But here he focuses on a few. And you build upon, you have those foundational doctrines. It says, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. I love that saying. And I tried to preach on it one time, and people in this room, well, they forgot, like Granddaddy always said. But it says, let us go on unto perfection, not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and the baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal death. Here's these doctrines he listed. We're not going to lay them again, but we're going to build on them. We're going to go on unto perfection. Oh, I look here and I see people from all over the country, and we're all in different. I've talked to preachers all over the land, and some never stopped meeting. Some still aren't meeting. We started meeting last Sunday, but we're watching, and we just don't know what to do. Of our own accord, we pray for guidance, that God be pleased with what we do. But all of y'all, in different situations, different stages of this, he says, and this we will do if God permits. What I was saying, you know, I've been anxiously awaiting. I kind of feel like Jonah, whenever the whale threw him up on the shore. I remember Granddaddy telling a story about an old man. Says, don't you reckon? Maybe an old priest says, you reckon when Job hit the ground, he hit the ground preaching. Whenever we get back in the church house, when we get back together to congregating normally, whenever that will be, I tell you, I want to hit the ground running. I want to go, and for one thing, I don't want to take for granted what the Lord has blessed us with in His church and in these doctrines, the church where we've come to learn about these doctrines. And hear what He says in verse 3. And this we will do if God permits. Something I have, another thing I've taken away from all this. You can find in James 4 where he says, you that say you're going to go into a city and buy this and sell that and make pay. But you rather, you should say, if the Lord will, we will do this or we will do that. I tell you, that means more to me now than ever. I used to, people get on me, Lord willing, Brother James's brother, who's not shy about correcting people. And he'd audit, Lord willing. I said, yeah, you know what I mean. But I tell you now, I'm going to try to say it. So, this Sunday, if the Lord will, we'll meet. And here he says, if God permit, we're going to go on unto perfection. Then he gets, and I'm going to skip on a little bit in the sixth chapter. He says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor. This is in verse 10. And labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. All the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And he says that you be not sloth, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For, in verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Verse 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That's doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
That's that God has promised, that God who cannot lie, promised. I tell you, that's something you can rest on. You can take assurance in, and it says you can lay hold upon. Oh, don't we need things right now to lay hold of? Nothing's for sure right now. It's not right now, we're getting a wake up call that we're not in control. But I tell you, we can lay hold on these truths. I like the way, the preamble to the Constitution? We hold these truths to be self-evident. I tell you, and that was just a side note, but I think of that whenever we study the Bible, when we learn about His teaching. They're self-evident when the Lord reveals them to us. And I tell you, that's how precious the doctrines of God are. That he, willing, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise. He has given them to us in the church. Oh, and remember, the Apostle Paul says, the same that I have committed unto you, commit thou unto faithful brethren. Oh, we have this word. And we have had since Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ, and the foundation of the apostles, with Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the pillar and ground. They set it up, the pillar and ground of the truth. And brothers and sisters, I have traveled with you over in Mississippi, and I'm thankful that I can go there. And other places that are people represented here. And I can find the true church of the living God there, where his doctrine is preached and where we can go and where we can lay hold on these things. Which hope says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Fled for refuge. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. David says in the 27th Psalm, he shall hide me in his pavilion. I tell you, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, is a place of refuge. And we can come and just find refuge from the world and worship our God. I tell you, I need a place of refuge. I try not to watch news. I get what I need on the internet and then just be done with it, because all you see is fightings and everyone's fighting. Crises, it seems the country comes together, but it doesn't seem like that in this. It seems we're driven more and more apart. And it's just depressing to look out and see all that. But I tell you, may we guard the Lord's church and not let it in. Because it is it's a place of refuge. We don't need to let the things, the cares of the world get in and tear it out. And we lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. God, willing more abundantly, has given us these promises. These promises are his teachings, his what he has done for us, who we are. Oh, so many in the world preach today, you've got to find yourself. If you ever really truly find yourself, you're not going to like it. It's better to go and find the Lord. And by his grace, when you find the Lord, and you know what I mean by that, find out about him. You'll find out that you are in him. And he in you. And I tell you, that teaching, that doctrine, as all of his doctrines, will hold you up in hard times. And it will help you to praise him in the good times. The Lord has been so good. The Lord has been so good to me, as the song says. I tell you, he has been good to all of his people. But we in the church, the Lord, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. I believe that we, as Primitive Baptists, dwell in Mount Zion. And that it is the pillar and ground for the truth. And as long as I live, and all of us live, may we proclaim his truth. And may it continue, and it will. When it is proclaimed in spirit and in truth, it will feed his sheep and help them in time of need. I thank you.